Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Military Transition Stories. Today we're going to be talking with Natalie Oliverio, founder and CEO of Military Talent Partners and a Navy veteran. Natalie advises members of the military to set the stage for who you are now and who you will become, thinking ahead and planning out your next move, as well as applying practical tips on networking, presenting yourself, and finding a mentor. With the goal to empower human potential, Natalie and her team at Military Talent Partners provide free mentorship and paid executive coaching programs available online, and you can visit their website at militarytalentpartners.com.
Natalie, how are you doing today?
Hey Trey, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on. Natalie, you are a Navy veteran. Why don't you start us off by telling us what it was that drew you into the military and specifically towards the Navy?
I'm laughing because I was 18, 19 years old. I had just failed out of college by not really showing up for class. And I went to WVU. Anybody who's familiar with WVU knows that it is a one of the major party schools out there for your post high school dreams. So, my family was really disappointed, and I, West Point, Naval Academy, all these schools were courting my younger brother, but I was intercepting these calls because I was living back at home with my parents, and they're like, "What are you doing with your life?" And I'm like, "I'm going to be a journalist and I'm going to do this." And they're like, "You don't have to go to school to be a journalist. You can do that in the military." And I'm like, "No way." And they're like, "Well, you should join the Navy because you get to live on the beach." And I'm like, "Sold." So it was all fun and games until I arrived at boot camp and I cried for like the first 10 days or so, like at night under my pillow, like I would just so softly whimper. But in all seriousness, it was probably one of the most challenging times in my life. And that became even more so. My first trip underway for deployment workups was actually September 10th, 2001. So wake up, it's 9/11, and the whole world was changed, and also drastically the military. So the next 4 years were very, very challenging and often scary, and definitely had a heavy hand in shaping me as an adult. And so post-military, it was a really difficult transition, not just because military transition is difficult in general, but also that the world was in such a very difficult place. It was a time when people didn't really know how to talk to military folks or veterans, and I didn't know how to talk to them either. And I think when you get out of the military, you expect to like go back to normal, only there is no normal. It's all different because the world was not on pause while you were in the service. And so you come out and everything's different.
Right. And you said that it used to be that people didn't know how to talk to people who are, or is it pretty much still that way today?
I think it's getting better. It's getting better. There's more empathy and understanding for what vets and their families go through, and just a larger scale of knowledge than there was 14 years ago. So it's getting better, but I would say that there's still a lot that they don't know.
What would you say is probably the most common thing that you hear that people don't realize or don't understand?
People don't really understand what military jobs are. I mean, unless you've served and had a military job,
Right.
you don't know. And anybody in the military will tell you, you really have like 8 to 10 different jobs because you do so many different things, especially while deployed. So the quote unquote soft skills are a lot more firm than we really give credit to. But there are still companies, not only do they not understand what you really did in the military, but there are some companies out there that don't value military experience when they're considering the aptitude of a candidate for civilian positions. There's some companies out there that give half credit. So if you've got 4 years of military service, they'll give you 2 years of credit towards experience. I don't really know who ever came up with that idea. It's a pretty dumb one, if you ask me. But now more than ever, it is super important for anybody exiting the military in the next few years to start building your story about who you're going to become. When we start to talk about ourselves, which is something we don't learn in the military, We talk about what we've done in the past 10 to 20, 30 years. No one really cares about that. It's not that the experience doesn't matter, because it does. But when you're breaking the ice and you're networking and you're getting to know other people, it's important to set the stage for who you are now and who you will be from here on out.
So what kind of points would you recommend somebody make if they're not talking about, you know, the quantifiable experience that they've had over the years?
I think especially when networking, either on the phone or in person, even in network messaging back and forth on LinkedIn, it's important to be articulate and concise, clear, compelling, and confident to the point. So I could say, hi, I'm Natalie, and I really care about empowering human potential. Helping people to find meaningful careers is super important to me. Saying like the punchline, the very end, the very biggest thought you have, and the very opening of what you say, then qualifying it with a few other statements to back it up. Like, I was in recruiting for more than 10 years. I started mentoring more than 3 years ago, and really love both of those things. So I built my own company to bring those two entities together to improve the process for veterans and their families. But I started by telling you that I love to empower human potential, and I love helping veterans and their families find meaningful careers. So if you can bring that focus and that punchline to the front end of the conversation, you're going to grab their attention right off the bat, rather than standing there stammering, saying, hi, my name is Natalie, and I spent the past 10 plus years in recruit. You see what I mean?
Right.
No one wants to listen to that. But that's how we sound when we come out of the military, because that's one of the places that no one really cares. Everybody knows what you do. You don't have to explain it. You've never had to talk about yourself in this way. So to then be, you know, released out into the civilian world to then hopefully captivate the attention of everybody that you want to listen to you, it's really, really hard and scary. And I don't care if it's an E3 or an O6 and above, everybody has that same vulnerable spot when it comes to our transition. And it centers around talking about ourselves, defining and speaking articulate about what we want to do and why we want to do it. These are the toughest things that people are battling on the front end of transition.
Yeah, it sounds like I read a couple books over the past year. Story brands, Storynomics, and there's several others on the topic, but basically they're centered around the idea of, you know, if you're trying to build a brand, then, you know, this is sort of taking that story approach to, you know, how do you describe the brand and how do you build the brand? And really, you know, everybody is their own brand as well. So it sounds like it's taking that sort of idea of a story brand and applying it, you know, to your own personal brand.
Exactly. And building your personal brand from the ground up after leaving the military lifestyle and entering the civilian lifestyle is one of the most pivotal times in your career you're going to do that. And what people need to know about personal branding as you are in military transition is it's not about who you've been. It's about who you will become. And everything you've done to this point will qualify you, will make you eligible and desirable, and people want to hear about your experience. But even more so, they want to know now who you'll become from it.
So let's talk for a moment about your transition. I know it's been a little while, but what would you say was probably the most difficult aspect of your transition out of the military?
Mistake number one is thinking that I had everything figured out, that I was going to be totally fine. I was smart. I was well-connected. I was going back to my hometown. I shouldn't have any problem. Only I had every problem. And I use that as an example often because I know many people feel that way too. But what you have to remove is the ego and the idea that it doesn't matter how smart you are. It matters what you're going to do with it. And unless you can clearly say what it is you want to do and why you want to do it, you're going to have that struggle. So I didn't have a mentor. I didn't know anything about mentorship. I didn't even think I was important enough to have a mentor. So step one is get a mentor. Get a few professional civilian or veteran mentors who've been out of the military for several years, who have several years of civilian experiences to draw from, who are truly qualified to advise you. Because there is an open ocean, especially on LinkedIn, full of people who want to give you all the advice in the world, and you need to do this, and you should be doing that, and why haven't you done this, and make sure you do this. And that is overwhelming in itself. But having mentors that you qualify with respect and trust, they can cut out all that noise, turn down that sea of advice, turn down the volume, and turn your own volume up. Listen to your gut. Trust the people who resonate with you. If they're not qualified as an expert in their field, they should not be advising you. So following that advice is an easy trap. And military service members who are transitioning fall prey to that often. So get a few mentors you trust and have qualified to be in your corner. And then really start discovering who you'll become next as a veteran and a business professional. Start working on a timeline. Start writing down your goals. Start thinking about what's next for you. And that's something that a lot of people skip. Then I hear all the time, I've got 6 months left. I've still got time. I've got plenty of time. I got 3 months left. That goes by in a blink. So it's really, really important to start thinking early about what's next for you. Because then it comes down to, oh my God, I need a resume. I need somebody to help me with my resume. Here's my resume. Please help me. I can't get a job. All of these things happen. And they're playing out right before our eyes on social media. But you cannot effectively write your resume until you absolutely know what you want to do and why you want to do it.
Right. You made a really good point there when talking about mentors and finding a mentor. And you said to actually qualify the mentor. And that's something that not a lot of people say. You know, people will tell you, go find a mentor and that kind of thing. But the qualification seems like a very important, you know, it's just a single word, but it's a very important little detail that gets left out. What kind of advice would you give to somebody when it comes to qualifying a mentor and how to do that?
I think the biggest thing is to follow your gut. We are so trained to Google the answers to everything or ask Siri or Alexa or whomever for advice. And that shuts out our intuition. Our intuition muscles are getting weaker and weaker because we rely on AI for everything. So if you can really hone into your gut, when you're meeting a mentor, you can court a mentor like you're dating someone. So this is a new relationship and you're getting to know them. How did you get to go? Ask important questions like, how did you get to where you are? How many years of experience do you have? What did you learn from your military transition? Just a few simple questions. And if you're not feeling something compelling from them, or a switch doesn't get flipped, or you don't feel that spark, maybe they're not the right mentor for you. And that's okay. It's okay to walk away and thank them for their time and follow up as appropriate, but move on. You are not relegated to only having a mentor who was assigned to you and nobody else. That's why I recommend having two or three people that you trust, a cabinet of mentorship, if you will, people that resonate with you. I reached out to volunteer as a mentor 3 years ago because I was really unfulfilled at work. I felt like I was using half of my potential and I wasn't bored. I had a 6-month-old baby, amazing husband, friends and family. I had plenty of stuff to do, but I just felt this gap inside. So I started volunteering in excess of 40 hours a week and mentorship because I just loved it. I was giving people insider tips from a recruiter who's hired thousands of people, who's worked with hundreds of hiring managers. And I was naturally good at it because I loved it. It didn't feel like volunteering. It didn't feel like work. It felt selfish almost because it was giving me just as much as I was giving anybody else. And that's when I really fell in love with it. And I wanted to create a business that combined mentorship with recruiting because the two really go hand in hand.
Right. So just I want to ask two more questions on mentoring before we dive into military talent partners. Let's say that somebody, you know, they've gone through the qualification process and they found somebody who they think, you know, this would be a good fit for me as one of my mentors. How do they frame that actual question of, you know, you said it's kind of like dating, and you, especially with the early on dating, you always get that awkward, oh, you want to go out with me? Or, you know, you put it on a little note and check yes or no. guessing that's not the proper way of asking a mentor, you know, do you want to be my mentor? Yes or no. And then also, should mentors, is there a role for mentors who also receive some sort of compensation, or would you look at that as more of a coaching and separate from mentorship?
Those are both really great questions. The first part, I think that consistency and commitment are the two biggest keys to mentorship. Mm-hmm. So if you found someone that you really resonate with, you admire and respect, and you want to learn from them, and they're willing to help you, ask them, I'm really interested in mentorship with you. I'm wondering, with your schedule, how much time you'd have available, either weekly, bi-weekly, or monthly. Allowing that conversation to be open. That way, maybe they're super into the idea and they want to talk to you every week. I typically do that with those that I mentor. Mm-hmm. I have some mentorship relationships that are just once a month because that's all the time they can afford. And they work best autonomously, and I give them feedback and they spend the rest of the month working on it. So it just depends. The rhythm is all personal. There's no right or wrong way to do it, but having that open conversation with your chosen mentors and really setting a rhythm for the communication and a commitment level for the expectation. And then also, I think there are so many options for free mentorship, including at Military Talent Partners. We partner with some of the best mentorship entities out there, like Veterati, which is a digital mentorship platform. You can try mm-hmm. on as many as you want for size. You have ACP, which will assign you a mentor for a year from a Fortune 500 company. I'm in my second mentor-protege relationship now with ACP. Elite Meet, which is a phenomenal organization for special operators, and also the Travis Manion Foundation. Their focus is truly veterans, military spouses, and Gold Star families. So we partner with those organizations. We'll put people on the right path based on where they are in their life. We are very big at Military Talent Partners on meeting people where they are, not saying, okay, this is right for you. Go here, do this, do that. We're very intentional. So our legwork is longer, our time is deeper, but we'd rather be more personal and focused in all that we do than just clicking buttons like most other companies. So I think that mentorship should be free. I think executive coaching and training, that's more of an upscale paid practice. It takes a lot more time and focus than a mentorship relationship.
Right. So let's talk about Military Talent Partners and tell us more about how, you know, you've coupled mentoring with the recruiting side.
Yeah, absolutely. So we partner with businesses all across the country to help them hire veterans and military spouses. So we offer free mentorship as a pillar of what we do at MTP. Anybody who wants mentorship can get it for free through us. And we take our candidates and our database and our network very, very personally and seriously. So most of them are people that we've mentored personally. Understanding what drives them, understanding what their professional goals are, where they want to work, what location do they want to live in. A lot of other larger firms will just plug and play people wherever they can, even if it's something that doesn't make that candidate happy, really capitalizing on that vulnerability of needing a job mm-hmm. rather than a meaningful career. And we are the absolute opposite of that. So we never charge veterans for placement or mentorship. Those are always free. We do have a paid opportunity for an executive coaching program. It's more like a career accelerator.
Okay.
It's online and it's accessible from anywhere in the world. It is called Mission Career Transition. It's not just for veterans. Civilians can take it too. Mm-hmm. Anybody who is transitioning from a career to another career, much like military transition, can come in and learn everything they need to implement to be successful. It's not a workshop or a seminar. You're not coming in to pay for advice. You're spending time with a group of high-performing peers who are going to do the work alongside you. You get an accountability partner, a small team. You have the overall group, and you get private coaching sessions with me. You get over $1,000 worth of free bonus material, including our transition playbook, a 360 report card, feedback report, which basically takes all of your personal information that we've grown together throughout that 6-week course, and it puts you on your path forward. And it's a document that is written down that really helps you guide your own way there. And then we made it a 6-week program, but we actually leave everybody in the group. So they have unlimited support. You can repeat any mission you want. And while it is a 6-week timetable, everybody works at their own pace. We have live Q&A every week. We have guest speakers who come in. The LinkedIn presentation alone about the entire recruiter function is major. It is a major player in this program, and it is really changing the way people perform on LinkedIn.
When we connected on LinkedIn, I think we originally connected because I saw that you and MTP were getting ready to host an event here in the local area. Do you guys have any other events coming up soon?
We don't have any other local events, although we do plan to do a few more this year. But once we do, we'll definitely put them up on our website and get the word out. We're very focused on being digital and accessible to anyone, anywhere right now, because our net is so wide. Right. And we have people all over the world working together for that common goal of finding a meaningful career.
Perfect. But before we go, I want to ask you just the last question that I ask everyone before we wrap up the show, which is, how do you personally define success?
I think when you feel at your happiest, you feel like your potential is being used, you are serving others in the way that you want to, that's success. It's no one else's definition but your own. When you're happy and you feel successful, you are successful. You don't need anyone to tell you that you have to be at this level or that level, or you have to get this award or whatever. Success is your own to determine. And for me, you know, celebrating our first year in business just a few weeks ago was a major milestone for us. For any startup entrepreneur, you have no idea what's going to happen in your first year, if you're going to make any money, if anyone's going to like you, if they're going to think your service is important. And all of those things are amazing once validated. And so I think that you define your own success no matter what it is you do.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me, Trey. I really appreciate it. And I'm excited to hear from anyone who reaches out from this podcast and look forward to connecting with you. Take care, Trey.
Thanks for listening to the Military Transition Stories podcast. For more episodes, please visit militarytransitionstories.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe and give us a quick review on iTunes.